Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lassier, and the message today is titled, The Parable of the Dishonest Manager.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Today is Stewardship Sunday, and I thought it'd be a great day for us to take a look at a parable that Jesus told us about stewardship. Luke 16, called the Parable of the Dishonest Manager. And this is a very strange parable because Jesus tells us about a dishonest manager who deals like a cheat. And in the end of the parable, Jesus basically tells us, go and do thou likewise. And so what on earth is he talking about? The parable of the dishonest manager, that we should take a hint and a lesson and a clue from him to do something in our spiritual lives as Christians like that guy. So let's take a look at Luke 16 today, the parable of the dishonest manager, and see what Jesus means to teach us about management, stewardship of our resources, etc., by means of these words, this parable, Luke 16. So without further ado, let's turn there and read it first, and then we'll see if we can discover, by looking at it in more detail, what Jesus is really talking about. So here we are in Luke 16. I read, he said to the disciples, Jesus proclaimed this, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was wasting his goods. And he called him and said to him, 'What is this that I hear about you? Turn in the account of your management, for you can no longer be manager.' And the manager said to himself, 'What shall I do? For the master is taking away the management from me. I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I've decided what to do so that people may receive me into their houses when I'm put out of the management.' So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he said to the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' He said, 100 measures of oil. He said to him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly, and write 50. Then he said to another, 'And how much do you owe?' He said, 100 measures of wheat. He said to him, 'Take your bill and write 80. The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness, that is, his wise actions. For the sons of this world are more wiser in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. And I tell you,' Jesus says, 'make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous money, so that when it fails, they may receive you into eternal habitations.'" That's the parable. That's the story. Strange parable, isn't it? But it's certainly one that we would be familiar with even in our day, because he's talking about dishonest managers of money. We've got that everywhere in the world, don't we? So Jesus is using an earthly example that everybody's familiar with in order to teach us about something spiritual and heavenly about his kingdom. We've got dishonest managers all over the place in the world. I mean, you consider, for example, Enron. Remember that company in 2001? They were worth $101 billion a year in revenue. But then they also heard one day, "You're mismanaging your money. You have a day of accounting coming. You've been dealing in fraud. And they knew that they had to get their lives in order very quickly, like this dishonest manager, to try to provide the best future for themselves, because they were going to jail. And most of them did go to jail, but they made quick deals like this guy in order to try to get out of it as fast as they could with what wisdom they had according to the world. So Jesus here is using a story that we would be all familiar with, both back then and now, about dishonest managers, but he's teaching us something about ourselves before God as the great master. We are the manager, how we should be managers. Jesus says, take a hint from this guy. He was pretty good. Be like him. We're like, what? What are you talking about? Be like this dishonest manager? The guy was a crumb. He was a cheat. He was basically robbing and misusing his master's money. How should we be like this guy? Because remember, we read Jesus says the master commended, you know, gave glory to, said, wow, the dishonest manager, he commended him for his wise actions, for the sons of this world are wiser in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. And Jesus again says, I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous money. In other words, be like this guy, right? So that when it fails, they may receive you into eternal habitations. So what on earth is Jesus talking us about? Should we be dishonest people? Well, let's take a look at this in a little more detail and see if we can understand what Jesus is teaching us here about management and about stewardship. How should we imitate this guy, this dishonest manager? Should we be like him in everything that he did? What do you think? Well, number one, is he telling us to be like him in our poor management of our master's property and money? Because this guy was dishonest with his master's money. We're managers also, right? Of who? Of whose stuff? God's stuff, which he's given to us. Should we be dishonest managers like he was? Answer?
No.
No. And why? Because we see that's what he got in trouble for in this parable, right? Turn in the account of your stewardship. I've been hearing about you that you're mismanaging my goods. You can no longer be manager. I'm about to fire you. Let's see your account books. So we certainly, Jesus is not telling us to be mismanagers of God's property, just like this guy was, because, frankly, that's condemned in this parable. Secondly, should we be like him in his subsequent dishonest business dealings? Because what did he do? He knows he's about to be fired, so he goes out and he speaks to the first guy, 100 whatever of oil, sit down quickly and write 50. That's a cheat, right? And then 100 measures of wheat. Here, quickly, sit down and write your bill, 80. That is, should we be like him in these things, be dishonest in our business dealings and in money? Obviously, the answer is no, categorically not. And how do we know that's true? Well, because let's read what Jesus said after the parable was over. Verse 10, he says, he who is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much. He who is dishonest in a very little is dishonest also in much. If you then have not been faithful in unrighteous money, who will entrust you true riches? So should we be dishonest with money? Answer, categorically, no. That's also condemned by Jesus here. So that's good, right? How about thirdly, should we be like this guy in his love for money? You know the answer to that one too. This man was certainly trying to mismanage the money of his master, probably to get rich himself. But Jesus says in verse 13, right after this parable, he says, no servant can serve two masters, for either he'll hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. And so don't be like him in his mismanagement. Don't be like him in being dishonest. Don't be like him in loving money. So that's a good message so far. But how then are we supposed to be like this guy who really was a crumb and a cheat? Well, let me tell you. This guy was a bad manager in a sense of his master's goods, but he was a great manager of his time and the little resources he had left. Amen? He was a great manager of the little that he had when the chips were down. Because we note here, the master commended the dishonest, unjust manager for his wise actions. So what are we excited about in this message? Jesus wants us to look at how wise he was. Take a look at this worldly man of worldly ambition, how he operated. I want you to operate in the same way. Let's talk about that. First of all, how did he act wisely? Let's take a look. Number one, did he act wisely in that he heard alarming news and took it seriously? Yes, he did, because what do we hear? The guy was mismanaging his master's money. And he heard, his master called him in and said, come into my office. What's this that I hear about you? That you're mismanaging my goods. Turn in the account books. You can no longer be manager. You're about to be fired. And so this guy acted wisely, number one, and he took this seriously. My days, in fact, my minutes are numbered. This is a serious situation. Turn in the account of your management. You can no longer be manager. It was wise to take that seriously. Amen? Amen. Secondly, you see that he reasoned out a quick plan based on that alarming situation to provide in the best possible way he could for his future. Because we read here, as soon as he heard that he's about to be fired, the manager said to himself, "What shall I do since my master's taking the management away from me? I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I've decided what to do." Notice how quickly that happened. It was like, I'm in trouble, alarming news, I got an idea. He quickly came up with a plan how to provide the best possible future for himself. He says, so that people may receive me into their houses when I'm put out of the management. Was that wise? In worldly ways? In a worldly way, yeah, just like those guys at Enron, they're running around real fast when they know that they're about to be audited. How can we get out of this? Let's make a plan, quick, fast. That was wise as well. Thirdly, that we notice the guy took action very quickly on that plan to provide for himself the best possible for his future he could with that tiny little bit of time he had left, with the tiny amount of power he had left. Because remember, he wasn't yet fired, was he? Because he could still go out and make some legal documents, legal binding things with his master's debtors. So, summoning his master's debtors one by one, he said to the first, "How much do you owe my master?" He said, 100 measures of oil. And he said to him, "Take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. And he did the same with the guy with the wheat, write 80. So he's still got a little bit of time as manager. He's still got a little bit of time with power of that position. He's got a little bit of resources left to him. What's he do with it? He acts with super speed, with super zeal, to make use of the little bit of stuff he has left in order to provide for himself the best future he can possibly provide. And in that way, he was wise. Would you agree? The master commended the dishonest, unjust steward, the unjust manager, for his shrewdness. The word there in the Greek is phronimos, which means his shrewdness, his prudence, his wisdom, his worldly wisdom, his wise actions that he took. Why did the master commend him? Because he just got cheated out of even more money, right? He was getting cheated before by this guy. Now he's even more cheated by him. How was it that this master commended him? What did he commend him for? We commended him, basically, in so many words, he's like, "You didn't manage my goods very well, but when the chips were down, you certainly got your ducks in a row in a hurry," right? At least you commend you for that, that you're a very shrewd businessman. You dealt with all ambition to use what little bit you had left to cheat me one more time, and you've escaped. You've actually provided for yourself a great future. I commend you. Hats off to you on that one, right? So that was actually pretty good. He commended the dishonest manager, not notice for his dishonesty, but he commended him for his wise actions, his shrewdness. In the very little time he had left, he made a super, super smart use of it. So now, let me ask you, what's Jesus teaching us about our management by this parable, do you think? Well, he's saying, take a look. You got people in the world that are of a worldly fashion, with worldly ambitions in devilish ways. They're smarter than you are, because you also are managers, Jesus says, of the things that I've given to you. I am the manager, you are the managers. And to many, Jesus says, you've mismanaged what I've given to you. And we also know, so that's number one, we've mismanaged a lot of what God's giving to us. I mean, we all have. We've all fallen short of His glory. The second thing is that we also hear that there's a day of accounting coming, right? That we have to turn in the account books. Turn in the account of your life. Let's see what you've done with what I've given to you. The trouble is that we don't take it seriously. Like the dishonest manager, the man of this world is very wise. He's like, oh my goodness, I'm in trouble. Accounting day is coming. I've got only a little bit of time. I better get active. But we don't take it so seriously that there is a day of accounting coming. But we should. Jesus has taught us many places in Scripture we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive good or evil according to what he's done in the body. Again, Romans 14 says, for we shall all stand before the judgment seat of God. Each of us shall give an account of himself to God. And 1 Corinthians 3 verse 8 says, each shall receive his wages according to his labor. But we as Christians often don't take those words seriously. There's a day we got to turn into our account books. But Jesus says, look at the wise people of this world in their dealings with this world. They're wiser than you are with the heavenly things because they take it seriously and know that they have to get active quickly to provide the best possible future they can for themselves later on. So we know that there's a day of accounting coming, amen? It's coming quickly. We shall appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and that day, Jesus' day, is coming like a thief in the night. And we have but little time, because we have but a little tiny window still to manage goods well. And Jesus says, I want you now to go and be like this unjust worldly guy, but in heavenly ways, in just ways. Use that little bit of time you have. Use that little bit of resources that you have left while you're still in the management to provide for yourselves the best possible future you can in my kingdom when the account books are going to be opened. And so we're to go after it. And what are we supposed to do? Well, Jesus tells us here in this parable, here's one way you do it. He says make friends for yourselves by means of unjust money, unrighteous money, so that when it fails, they may receive you into eternal habitation. So what's one way we could be great managers of our time and the little resources we have before we have to appear before God? Use our time well for money. Right? So you can actually use, I got some of my own money right here. This is unrighteous money, filthy lucre, right? But Jesus says you can use money in order to make eternal investments now that will give you great dividends and returns when I come on the day to judge the world. Because you're going to stand before me. If you make investments now with your money like these worldly businessmen do, then I have super returns for you at the day of my coming. That's interesting too, because Denny just showed me just like 2 minutes before the service, he found someone had given bags to the church with canned goods in them. And in them he says, it's very strange, Pastor, I found this envelope. And in it, there's all kinds of cash. And by the way, if you can't see from there, these are mostly hundreds and fifties. I counted it, it's $1,000. That came in the cans. How perfectly timed to this message. Whoever donated this, hopefully it wasn't an accident. If it was, let me know privately after the service. That was you, right? But look at this person is taking this very seriously. Namely, I'm going to make an investment, not only to feed the poor, but to give an offering to the welfare fund to provide for my best future by providing for people now. We often don't make the best uses of our time, do we, though? I know I've failed at this a lot in my life, wasted a lot of time. I was thinking just the other day about maybe even how much I've watched videos at times this year. What a waste of time, really. Not that we can't watch some and enjoy or learn some stuff along the way. It's good to do that, too. But think about this. If you watch 1 hour of of videos or whatever you do per day in a 12-hour workday. That's 1 out of 12, right? That means 1 in every 12 years, you do nothing but watch videos all day for 12 hours. Think about that. Is that a good management of your time? Will that bring a great reward for you at the day of the Lord's coming? Do you know if you watched 1 hour of videos or TV per day until you're 85 years old and did that every year, every day, you'd watch 7 years of your life away watching TV or videos? By the time you're 85, if you watch 3 hours a day, which is even more average or more, then you'd have spent 21 years of your life doing nothing but watching videos and TV. Now, that we can entertain ourselves to some degree, and that's fine to rest or to learn some things, but the point Jesus is sharing with us today is that is not a wise use of your time. You've got a little tiny window. You've got only a little bit of resources. And I want you to be as ambitious as the most ambitious Wall Street stockbroker, to get out there and be ambitious to trade with what you have, to use this little time wisely. Be like this dishonest manager. He's smarter than you. That you will use whatever you have now, that when the day of accounting comes, you will have provided for yourself an abundantly great, rich reward at my coming. For the Lord is a rewarder of our deeds, says Scripture. Indeed, each shall receive his wages according to his labor. And Jesus therefore tells us in Luke chapter 12, which is just 4 chapters before this parable, therefore I tell you, sell your possessions, give alms, provide yourselves with purses that don't grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that doesn't fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves, Jesus tells us in this parable, by means of unrighteous money, so that when it fails, and it will fail, they may receive you into eternal habitations. In other words, what if you were to give to somebody who's poor and in need right now, and you bless them? When you get to heaven, it may be that they will be like, oh, look, you're here too. You're the guy who helped me when I was naked and without money on the street. And you provided for me. Come here, stay at my house today. Receive you into eternal habitations with great joy. Jesus says in Luke 14, same theme, when you give a dinner or a banquet, don't invite your friends and your rich neighbors and your brothers and your kinsmen, etc., lest they also invite you in return and they repay you. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, for they can't repay you. You will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. So let's use whatever little time we have. Who knows how long we have? A couple years? A couple days? A couple hours? Whatever little resources. You're still managers. And if we've misused our time, as we all have, let's be about it and be the most zealous we can. Just like worldly people go for worldly profits, let's be heavenly people to go for heavenly profits. For God is a rewarder of our deeds, says the Scriptures. And what's the greatest news I would take from this parable is that Jesus fulfilled this parable perfectly for us. Because think of it, he made the best use of his time, didn't he? And what he had. How long did Jesus minister? He acted very wisely for us. In Luke 3, we read Jesus, when he began his ministry, was about 30 years of age. And he ministered only about 3 years. What did he accomplish in those 3 years? He preached to us the truth, helped the poor, opened the eyes of the blind, made the lame to walk. He died for our sins on that cross. He set us free. He conquered the devil, conquered death, rose again from the dead on the third day, ascended to heaven, sent us the Holy Spirit, and he did everything to accomplish our salvation perfectly by what he did with his time. Not bad, eh? 3 years, he saved the entire world. And he wants us to be focused like he was on our mission. He set his face like flint to the accomplishing of it. So let's set our faces like flint to the accomplishing of what God has given us to do as managers. So the final word today is this, is salvation. Eternal life is a free gift. It's not something we earn. It comes to us by God's grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. But once saved, God then says, now go out and manage with what I've given to you, with your talents. Deal, use what I've given to you with that little bit of precious time, because in good investments, you will have a super reward at my coming. So be about the business of the kingdom. Psalm 119, when I think of thy ways, I do not hasten to keep thy commandments. Let's run toward that day so that at journey's end, we may with joy hear those great words, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. Now I set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called The Parable of the Dishonest Manager, a broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lucier, and if you're looking for a church home or would like to stop by and just visit, our services are at 8 and 11 a.m. on Sunday, and during Advent in December, worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesday, covering the book of Revelation. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the Recreation Center. If you'd like to hear more messages, please go to our website at Christ Lutheran Church, capecanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul, and God bless you.